Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, coming up in the second half of today's show, we are talking with a credit junkie. She wants you to know everything that she did wrong so you can avoid the mistakes she made. She became actually a CPA and has been doing that for a long, long time, is now a nationally recognized expert on credit cards. She's been on Fox News, CNN, News Source, ABC News. So she really understands what we need to know about credit cards. And she's going to be talking to us, as I said, in the second half of today's show. She has a great new book out called Confessions of a Credit Card Junkie, Everything You Need to Know to Avoid the Mistakes I Made. And, you know, I spent 15 years in the financial world, and I still learned some stuff from her book. So that's always good. But first, I'm pleased to bring you an interview that I did a few weeks ago with Austin Kleon. He is very, very creative. I sat down with him then because we had conflicts of schedule, et cetera, et cetera. And I wanted to talk to him. I'd come across his book. It's called Show Your Work, 10 Ways to Share Your Creativity and Get Discovered. And he is a New York Times best-selling author. His first book that hit the New York Times bestselling list was Steal Like an Artist. And I sat down with him and talked about this latest book, Show Your Work, because he's not a typical networker, let's just say that. I know many people don't like enjoy networking. And if you are a creative person, you're a writer, designer, painter, how do you get your work out there? How do you get people to pay attention? Well, he's mastered this to the point that he's now considered somewhat of a guru in this field with his peers. And literally, he could spend all of his time full time going across country talking about this. People are willing to pay him to come out and talk about this. And he had to make a critical decision for himself and his family. You know, do I want to be this person who's flying all around the world doing the talking, or do I want to be in my studio doing the work? And he decided that the work is important. If he's not doing it, he has nothing to talk about. So, as I said, we sat down. We're going to bring that interview to you in just a moment. But let me tell you a little bit about Austin Kleon. If you look at his website, he starts out by saying, I'm a writer who draws. I make art with words and books with pictures. In reality, he's the New York Times bestselling author of three illustrated books, Steal Like an Artist, that's a manifesto for creativity in the digital age, Show Your Work, which is the one we're talking about today, and Newspaper Blackout. That's a collection of poetry made by redacting words from newspaper articles with a permanent marker. Really interesting philosophy there, and very, very creative. His work's been translated into over a dozen languages and featured on NPR's Morning Edition, PBS NewsHour, and in the New York Times and Wall Street Journal. New York Magazine calls his work brilliant. The Atlantic called him positively one of the most interesting people on the internet. And The New Yorker said his poems resurrect the newspaper when everybody else is declaring it dead. He speaks about creativity in the digital age for many organizations, including Pixar, Google, SXSW, TEDx, The Economist, and he was recently out here at the Town Hall, Seattle, and I did announce that when he was out here. Let me bring you the interview with Austin Kleon, Show Your Work, 10 Ways to Share Your Creativity and Get Discovered. All right, so let's begin with this, Austin. You speak to major organizations like Google, Pixar, TEDx about creativity, especially in the digital age. You're a New York Times bestselling author of three illustrated books, two on leveraging creativity, one a collection of poetry, which again is produced very creatively. You say in previous lives, You worked as a librarian, a web designer, and advertising copywriter. So how did you get from there to doing what you're doing now?
Well, not to be too self-promotional, but I showed my work. I started out right out of college. I didn't have a body of work, and I wasn't really, you know, I didn't have a lot of my own stuff to show. But I realized right away that we're living in this culture in which you can kind of start your own thing very quickly. So I did what a lot of young writers do. I started a blog. And instead of worrying about going to grad school or getting an art gallery show or getting published, I just made stuff and put it on my blog. And from that simple step and continuing to do that, a whole career is formed for me. And so in this next book, Show Your Work, I really wanted to kind of analyze how it happened for me and how it happened for a lot of the people in my life, and to kind of give people a user's manual for kind of operating in this way.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I love this book. I took it, I was creative, and I took it to the beach to read this weekend.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
It's really aimed at anybody who enjoys gaining more perspective on creativity, anyone who needs a creative lift. But specifically, I think it's really beneficial for those who don't like self-promotion. Many cultures, it's not considered a good thing. In my culture, it's not, you know, you'd be called a braggart if you're going around self-promoting all the time. You do it in such a great way, showing, which of course is what the book is all about, showing your work. How did you come up with the idea for the book?
Well, so a lot of people on my last book tour, Behind Steel Like an Artist, so many people came up to me and asked me questions about self-promotion. You know, they asked me how to get their stuff out into the world, and they asked me how I did it. And so I started thinking about self-promotion, and I realized, you know, a lot of the people I look up to and the people I try to emulate, they actually don't self-promote. What they almost do the opposite of self-promoting. What they do is they share, and they focus on sharing. And instead of, you know, wasting their time networking at cocktail parties, what they do is they focus on their work, and they stay in their studios and in their offices. And what they do, though, is they almost let people look over their shoulder while they're working. Every day, they find little bits and pieces of their process, not just their products, that they can share with people. And in the, you know, and in the process of sharing their process, people feel closer to the work, and they feel like they're part of that creative process. And then when these people, their products are ready to go, people are already interested in them because they've watched them being made. And so I wanted to write a book about this kind of new way of working, because I think it's like a way of working that not everyone has had access to, but now we all have access to with the internet and new tools like social media.
Yeah. So that's obviously why you started the book. You started it with a quote from John Cleese. He said, creativity is not a talent. It's a way of operating. And you talk about that from your perspective. One of the things that I'm going to go back and reread is the chapter on think process, not product. You know, I've spent years working with corporations and commercial ventures. And I constantly have to remind myself, it is about the process when I'm working on my projects. It's not just about the end result. Talk to us a little bit about that, if you would. You say process is messy.
Yeah, like process is the thing, you know, normally, you know, that's the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we usually try to keep hidden, you know. Process is messy. It's the daily work of what you do. It's like all the things that you do in your day. But I think the thing about process is that for most of us, if we love our work, that's the stuff that's really good for us. That's the stuff that's hard, but it's the verb of the work, so to speak. You know, it's the things we actually do. And the nouns of the work, the products that we come up with, that's the thing that we usually share with people. But I think that people are really interested in the process of what people do just as much as the products. And so if you can figure out a way to share your process in a way that's useful or helpful or interesting to other people, then that's really the way that you can figure out how to show your work.
Yeah, and I love that you did this on your blog. Guess where I spent most of my time when I was researching for this our chat here? Most of the time was spent looking behind the scenes. I always think as a writer, you know, nobody's going to be interested in that process. And, you know, I wish I worked more in pictures because it's more visual, but you made it visual. And talk a little bit about how you do that, how you do share your work, if you would.
Well, I'll give you a very specific, concrete example. So I'm on book tour right now, and when you have a book come out, it's very easy for you to become what I call a piece of human spam. You know, that is, you become that person that only speaks about your own work, and you don't talk about anything else. And so one of the things, I love Instagram. I love the platform Instagram, the photo sharing service. So what I try to do when I'm out on book tour is I try to take pictures of the city I'm in, but I also try to, like, take pictures of the people I meet and the book events that we do, and I try to share the things that I'm looking at, and I try to emphasize the fact that book tour is really about not just me and the show I'm putting on, but the people who show up and the things they share with me. And so that's, like, one of the ways that I try to turn, and I try to show the behind the scenes of what I'm doing and what it's like to be on book tour, so people don't just think I'm this, like, endless promotional machine, that they understand that I'm a human being doing work out in the world, you know?
Right, right. And it is fascinating. Now, the full title of the book is Show Your Work, 10 Ways to Share Your Creativity and Get Discovered. When you do get discovered, of course, we are open to criticism, which stops some people from, you know, opening up and sharing as much as they probably should to get discovered. You share a story in the book. There's a chapter called Learn to Take the Punch, and you say, don't feed the trolls. And you share a story of somebody who heckled you on Twitter. Tell us how you handle that kind of situation.
Yeah, so I had, my son is 16 months old, and when he was born, I was in the hospital room, and I was working on this new book, and of course, you know, with your first child, you're worried that your life is ending forever.
Are you right?
if you're a writer, you're worried that you'll never write anything good again after you become a parent. And so I was sitting in the hotel room, or I was not in the hotel room, the hospital room, and I had tweeted out, you know, that my son was born and that he was healthy and whatever. And this woman got online, and she started quoting quotes from my book, Steal Like an Artist, and saying little things like, ha, try that when it's 3 a.m. and the kid's up screaming, you know? And she tweeted like five or six of these, you know, kind of awful things at me about how my life was basically over now that I was going to have a son. Mm-hmm. And what I realized in that process was this woman, it had nothing to do with me and everything to do with her own experience. Is that what this woman was really doing is she was talking about her own frustrations as a parent and the way that her dreams had kind of been squashed by becoming a parent. And so the lesson I learned from that is you always have to evaluate where criticism and feedback is coming from and who that person is that's giving it to you. And then you can figure out whether you want to take that criticism and feedback and put it into your work.
Right. Good advice. You end the book with a chapter called Stick Around. The book is based on 10 principles. This is the 10th. When you find yourself going down a rabbit hole, and I know you blogged about how difficult you found this process writing this last book. When you find yourself going down a rabbit hole, what do you do to regroup or get back on track?
I think breaks are very underrated, like, you know, and not just big breaks. You know, I think a sabbatical is good for everybody, but of course, not all of us can take sabbaticals. So what I recommend is taking mini sabbaticals. You know, get away from your desk, take a walk, you know, go get some exercise, go eat lunch, you know, just the simple act of getting a little bit of distance in between you and your problems. I think that always jump starts my own creativity and gets me back on track. So, you know, the way to think about it is go away so you can come back.
Right, right. And you also say on procrastination that working on a couple of different projects at the same time is good for you. And I find that too. If you're kind of stuck on one or not feeling too creative about it, you can jump to another. and kind of move forward that way.
Yeah, I call this productive procrastination. And it's exactly what you said. You know, when you get caught on one project, jump over to the other and it feels fresh and new. And then when you get caught up with that, jump back to the other and keep using the two as a way to get more and more work done.
When you find things that you genuinely enjoy, you say, don't let anyone else make you feel bad about it. Don't feel guilty about the pleasure you take in the things you enjoy. Celebrate them. Tell us how you celebrate the things that you enjoy, Austin.
Well, I try really hard. Like, I'll be very specific. Like, I, as a writer myself, so much of my work is fed by my reading. And so I try to be really open and honest about the books I'm reading. And so I do a lot of reading for pleasure, not just for work. So I try as hard as I can to be really honest about, you know, what I'm reading. I don't worry too much about what people are going to think about me based on my book choices. So, yeah, I'll post about some great, you know, creativity book or whatever, but I'll also post about the Elmore Leonard thriller that I read or the, you know, the hard-boiled novel that I read for fun. And I try to, you know, be open and honest about all my influences because, you know, if you hide your influences, if you hide the things you really love, you're not going to run into your people, the people that love those things too.
Right. One of the premises of your book too is tell good stories. So tell us what good story means to you.
Well, we have this kind of faulty idea that our work speaks for itself. You know, you'll hear a lot of artists say that, my work speaks for itself. But I think it's, you know, what the stories you tell about your work totally impact the way people feel about it and the way that they value it. And so I think the way to become a good storyteller is to saturate yourself with good stories, surround yourself with good stories, figure out how they work, and then that'll help you tell your own story.
Yeah. Well, I could talk to you for another hour, but I know we have to let you go here. So a final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with today.
Oh, gosh, I think the fear of rejection keeps people from doing things more than actual rejection itself. So I would just encourage people, you know, whatever it is you feel like you have to offer the world, put it out there. Get it out there so we can all see it. And I guarantee you, you know, when you put your work out in the world, you're going to meet people that you need to meet.
Awesome. Austin Kleon, Show Your Work, 10 Ways to Share Your Creativity and Get Discovered is your latest book. Thanks so much for sharing your work with us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And please do stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to take a very quick break and then I'm going to share some information with you. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Express yourself.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Let's see if I guess that this just isn't working.
Knowing you have a great idea for a book is one thing, writing it another. So what's stopping you? Maybe you can't find time. Maybe you don't know where to begin. Maybe you wrote a couple of chapters, then disappeared down a rabbit hole. Or maybe you'd rather someone else write it for you. Partnering with the right coach or ghostwriter can make all the difference between talking about your book and finishing your book. As an award-winning writer and strategic consultant, Vicky St. Clair's storytelling credits span from business, health, self-help, and memoir to New York Times and USA Today best-selling anthologies. Vicky partners with people just like you at the exact level you need, whether you need a little encouragement, editorial guidance, or full-blown ghostwriting and consulting services. If you're serious about telling the story you know is inside you, stop procrastinating. Let's get your story down on paper. Contact Vicki today. Email Vicki at VickiSt.Clair.com or call 1-800-495-7617. See more about Vicki and her work at VickiSt.Clair.com.
Next week on Conversations Live, the alpha woman meets her match with psychotherapist Dr. Sonia Rhodes, how today's strong women can find love and happiness without settling. Please join us Mondays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you heal and stay healthy.
News, traffic, and weather? Now you can get your information fixed weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
In Jungle 2. All right. Everybody on the floor now.
And welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And we just aired the interview that I did a few weeks ago with Austin Kleon. It's the first time we've brought it to the show. His book was called Show Your Work, 10 Ways to Share Your Creativity and Get Discovered. And I just love his work. Check out his blog. It's Austin Kleon, KLEON.com. And there's a ton of really great stuff up there. And for those who can see the book, it's full of... not really illustrations, but graphics, and just it's a very quick, easy read. I read it in a couple of hours one morning. And I wanted just to share his book. His other book is called Steal Like an Artist, his first book on creativity. And on his website, he actually shares these things. I often ask our guests, what do you know now that you wish you'd known when you first started out? And he actually based his book, Steal Like an Artist, on that premise, 10 Things I Wish I'd Heard When I Was Starting Out. And he talks in the book about 10 things nobody told you about being creative. But he has this on his website, so I'm going to share some of it with you. He expanded a post that he'd done. He'd gone to a college in upstate New York. He was talking to students at community college, this was, and he talked to them about 10 things I wished I'd heard when I was starting out. And this went viral. According to Galley Cat, it rocked the creative world. But it really did go viral. It's been on the original blog post, has reached millions of readers since then. And I'm just going to share some of those tips with you. His tips are Steal Like an Artist. That comes from Pablo Picasso. And his book is called that, first book. Don't wait until you know who you are to get started. I think that's a critical factor because you evolve so much as you go along. Write the book you want to read. Use your hands. Side projects and hobbies are important. And so many people say that. Ray Bradbury said you must feast on life. You know, if you're not doing anything interesting, how can you be interesting? You've got to get out there and do some interesting stuff. The secret, he says, is do good work and share it with people. Geography, no longer our master. That's very true. I work with people in India, Australia, South Africa, China, all over the world, from my desk in South Sound. He says, be nice. The world is a small town. And of course, the shrinking geography has made that happen. It's you never know who you're going to run into or talk to. He also says, be boring. It's the only way to get done. He talked a little bit about that in our interview. If you're always out at parties, networking, how do you get your work done? Be boring. He says, stay home, stay in your studio, get your work done. And finally, he says, creativity is subtraction. So Eric Ryder, my our producer here. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yes.
He's a musician. He's very creative. I know he dabbles in writing sometimes, too. So I'm going to ask mm-hmm. you, Eric, what you'd like to share about creativity.
I think people forget that it's work. you know,
uh-huh.
that you have to work at it. When you're on a roll, do come easy, and it's nice, but you do actually have to find the time and apply yourself and actually keep at it. And you will be frustrated sometimes, but nevertheless, if you're really passionate about something, you got to go back to it and just keep at it, because when that starts, that creativity starts flowing, boy, that's one of the best feelings,
isn't it?
There is, I think.
Yeah, so. Time just goes. It's just like being in a trance almost.
And you say the title of his book, Steal Like an Artist, comes from Pablo Picasso. And here I thought that was a reference to Oscar Wilde's famous quote that talent borrows and genius steals.
Well, it's all the same stuff, I guess, everybody's doing. and he doesn't, he's not really saying steal, but we need inspiration of others, you know.
Right.
We need influences in our life. We need that, as Ray Bradbury said, to feast on life. If you're not feasting, you know, what do you have to write about? What do you have to draw? What do you have to share? I actually ran into somebody who's a writer the other day, and she goes, oh, I just don't have time to read. I don't know one serious writer who's really made it big and is not an avid reader. Everybody mm-hmm. is an avid reader. It's the same with music, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, most musicians are just huge music nerds, and that's why we want to do music to begin with, because, you know, we're inspired by our contemporaries and those that came before us.
Yeah, and one thing you and I have talked about is, you know, even when I'm on deadline, you think that's the last time, that's the last thing. The last thing you should—I'm having a hard time speaking this morning.
No, I know the feeling.
You think I need a break? What I'm going to talk about right now? You think I'm on deadline? I have to get this done. The last thing I can do right now is take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of plow through, even if you're having difficulty with something. But I've learned over the years the very best thing I can do is throw on my sneakers, regardless of the weather. Get outside. Go take the dog for a walk. Go down to the beach, go to Starbucks, sit outside, have a cup of coffee, whatever.
Sometimes you just need to clear your mind.
Yeah, and I come back and I'm totally in the zone, ready to get going. Yeah. So any other tips?
No, that's my biggest tip, is just keep at it, you know, and it sounds cheesy, but don't give up, you know,
right.
is really it. I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, persistence, you know.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And enjoying the process. And
if you're not enjoying it, you might really think about why, what is your motivation for doing something? Maybe that's not the creative area that really inspires you. So maybe revisit that.
Yeah, I think that's very true, because sometimes we can have a goal mm-hmm. and we change and circumstances change over time. And suddenly we're holding on to this goal that is no longer really something we is a heart's desire, if you will.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, all good stuff. I just love Austin Kleon's work, as I said, and he's got a couple of blogs out there. One is called thinkprocessnotproduct.com, but go to his website, austinkleon.com, and you can check out a whole bunch of stuff on there. He shares on his blog what he means by show your work. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the confessions of a credit junkie. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Watch the Sunday gang and hire a juke. There's something wrong with me. I'm a cuckoo.
Do you love wildlife? Then make a real difference by helping PAWS care for sick and injured wild animals. Volunteers help feed and clean the animals until they are well enough to return to the wild. Sign up today and help save a wild life. No experience necessary. All training is provided. Visit PAWS.org or call 425-787-2500.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can. colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL. Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW-IMHO. Copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. With me, I'm a cuckoo.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Eric, that's not fair. We were talking in the break about my first acting experience as a child. I was supposed to play a cuckoo in the school play when I was 7. And my headmistress yelled at me, "You look like a blooming aeroplane."
Flap those wings, right?
And so he found, in nanoseconds, he found a song about a cuckoo. Thank you.
That's right.
All right, let's get...
We're just expressing our creative side today.
That's right. Well, let's get down to business here. We're going to talk with a national expert on credit cards now. Her name is Beverly Hartzog. The book that she's written is called Confessions of a Credit Junkie, Everything You Need to Know to Avoid the Mistakes I Made. And she is a credit card expert. She's a consumer advocate. She's appeared on Fox News, CNN News Source, ABC News Now, and top media markets across the country. She's a frequent guest on syndicated radio shows, and her advice appears regularly in print and on major websites, including the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, USA Today, Smart Money, Money Magazine, and the list goes on. Beverly knows what she's talking about. Beverly Hartzog, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Vicki. I'm happy to be here.
Well, interesting story in how I'm always interested how people got to where they are now. Mm-hmm. And you confess that at one point you were a credit card junkie. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to become a CPA and how that led to doing what you're doing now.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. I was a CPA, which makes it kind of ironic that I got into so much trouble with my credit cards. But I spent, probably about a decade in the corporate world. And during that time, that's when I was racking up all my debt. This was, you know, as soon as I had gotten out of college, I knew a lot about corporate finance, but I knew nothing about personal finance. So when I started getting all these credit cards, it was very exciting to me. I felt, you know, wow, I'm a grown-up now. I've got all this power and freedom with these cards. And I applied for about 7 cards, got all of them, proceeded to max out my credit cards. And it reached a point where I knew I had to take back my life. So I started spending time learning about credit, personal finance. From there, I transitioned into becoming a finance journalist because I wanted to help other people avoid all these mistakes. It's a situation where you don't really know what you don't know until you get into trouble. So I thought maybe I could help some others, you know, if I became a writer. And then I kind of went from there to becoming a spokesperson for a couple of credit card sites, Card Ratings and Credit.com. And I loved that part of my job so much, I wanted to go out on my own and be a full-blown consumer advocate and write this book. So that's how it all came about.
And I think you've got some great information in here. I said at the top of the hour that I was in finance myself for many years, and I learned some stuff in your book when I was reading through it. So I think one of the areas I'd like to start, well, the main area I'd like to start with is credit scores, because we hear so much about this now. We know we're penalized if we have a low credit score. We pay more for other credit if we have a low credit score. We can even pay more for our car insurance, even utilities, I've heard people say, mortgages. Talk to us a little bit about what's the number one thing, if we know nothing else about credit scores, what do we need to know?
Okay, yeah, credit scores are just so tricky, you know, and I don't know why. You know, we have this culture where it's just very mysterious, and that's the reason why I talk so much about it in my book. You know, it shouldn't be this complicated. You know, the most important thing to do to have a healthy credit score is to pay all of your bills on time, not just the credit cards, but every bill. You mentioned utilities, your utility bill, your cell phone bill, and that's really just the foundation. As long as you pay everything on time, that gives you a good foundation, and you're on your way to a good credit score. And you were so right about how you know, your credit score, it leaks into other areas. It's not just about credit. You'll pay more for health insurance, car insurance, auto loans, all kinds of things. So, you know, if you take care of your credit score and, you know, be very responsible with credit cards and, you know, really every area of your financial life, you're going to get a better deal on a lot of other things in life. It, you know, it just bleeds over into a whole lot of other areas.
Yeah. It's actually a vicious cycle because, you know, if people have a low credit score, often it's because they can't, you know, they don't have much money, or they're too much in debt. And then, and then everything else is going to go up in price too on top of that.
Yes, that's true. And during the recession, you know, a lot of people lost their jobs. I mean, you know, I talk about responsible credit card use, but there's the other side of that where sometimes, you know, people have something terrible happen in their lives, like losing a job or having a health crisis, and you end up going into debt and putting things on your credit card where normally you would never do that. And when you run up your credit cards up to the limit, that lowers your score quite a bit. So that's a problem people see when they get into debt and they've got these big balances. You know, that really brings down your score, makes everything else more expensive. And yeah, it is a vicious cycle.
Yeah. One of the areas we have statements, we all see this box on the back of the statements. I did not know it was called the Schumer box, by the way. So I learned that in your book. It has a name.
It does, yes.
But it's a very important piece of information. And I know from my term, you know, spent in banking, that many people do not really understand APR and how it works and how it can be different for balances, cash balance, for purchases, for cash advances. So let's talk about APR. Let's start with APR and just tell us what APR actually means.
Okay, that's your annual percentage rate. And what that means is, you know, just think of your regular interest rate, and this includes the cost, the total cost of using that card. So if there's an annual fee, that would be factored into that, which sounds a little complicated. So I just tell people, pay your bill on time so you never have to worry about the APR. But you're right that there are different APRs. Okay, there's a purchase APR. There's a different APR for a balance transfer sometimes. There's a cash advance APR. And this one is really tricky. I know that, you know, this has happened to all of us at some time. You're out at the mall or wherever. You suddenly need cash. You've got some kind of emergency. You get a cash advance on your credit card. Well, interest starts ticking right away, okay? So if you're paying an APR about 25%, which is not uncommon with a cash advance, that starts right away. So in the Schumer box, it gives you information about the different interest rates you'll pay for your purchases or balance transfer. Sometimes you might even have a 0% APR, kind of like an intro period. Balance transfer cards do this a lot. But that's important to know, too, because that will have an ending date. So the Schumer box tells you, you know, okay, you've got 0% for 12 months. You know, if you're doing a balance transfer, you need to know that date so that you can get out of debt by that date, or at least pay it down as much as you can by that date. So this Schumer box gives you your APRs, and it also gives you the fees that you're going to pay on different types of transactions.
Yes, and I think that's a really critical point there, because I do remember receiving something in the mail that said, you know, transfer your balance 0% for 12 months. But in the tiny fine print, it said I had to make 2 purchases per month, otherwise it would go up to, I think it was 12%. Mm-hmm. And cash advances,
that's interesting.
Cash advances were 25%.
Yeah.
So it's, that fine print is critical.
Oh, it is. And it's hard to read. It's like tiny mouse print. It's very tiny. And even if you do read it, I've had so many consumers say to me, you know, they didn't understand it, because you know, this stuff is written by lawyers. So that's why in my book I go step by step through that Schumer box, because, you know, it's difficult to understand. It's kind of like reading a foreign language.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, Beverly. When we come back, I want to ask you about FICO score versus FICO score, because I think a lot of people get stung on this, and there are a lot of fake organizations out there making cash on this. My guest is Beverly Hartzog, her book, Confessions of a Credit Junkie, and you are listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Please stay with us.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to my favorite odor neutralizer, Anti-Icky Poo, we cover the world of animals. This week, April 27th, it's the last Sunday of the month, and that means it's a shelter, rescue sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check in with our regulars, birds, and horses, plus we'll get an update on the Oso landslide and its effects on local animals. Join me for Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Next week on Conversations Live, the alpha woman meets her match with psychotherapist Dr. Sonia Rhodes. How today's strong women can find love and happiness without settling. Please join us Mondays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't worry about a thing. You don't need no bread. Go get it with your good credit.
And welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. I'm talking right now with national credit card expert Beverly Hartzog, her book, Confessions of a Credit Junkie, everything you need to know to avoid the mistakes I made. And Beverly shared with us how she got to where she is today, which is an expert on credit cards. She's often sought after in the media. And I wanted to talk, Beverly, a little about FICO versus what you call FICO scores, because I know a lot of companies are out there trying to rip people off. If you say everybody should know their credit card score, where do we begin, and why do we need to know it?
Okay, the reason I think you need to know is because this gives you an overall idea of how your credit health is, you know, where you stand. I don't think people need to pay for their FICO score, you know, like every couple of months or anything like that. There are a lot of, when I talk about FICO scores, these are like educational scores is what they're also called. FICO is a little more catchy. So there are a lot of credit cards, websites out there, credit sites, that will offer you a free credit score. And I just want to make it clear that these are not FICO scores. Now, 90% of the lenders, when they look at your application and they pull a score on you, a credit score, they're looking at your FICO score. So that's why I focus so much on that. That really is the most important score. Now, what you're getting when you go to a site like Credit Karma, Credit.com, or CreditSesame.com are an alternative FICO score. That's why I call them FICO scores. They might be from Experian, or they might be the TransUnion Risk Score. score. There are actually dozens of credit scores out there designed to measure different things. So when you get your free credit score from one of these websites online, you know, that's fine. But keep in mind that that is not a FICO score. But the reason I do think that they're useful is because you'll get rated in each category. For instance, payment history. If you get an A, you know, that's great. Or if you get a C, that gives you something to think about. So with these free scores, you know, especially I like the sites that I mentioned in particular because there were some out there that will try to rope you into signing up for all kinds of credit monitoring services. But as long as you use those free scores with an open mind, remember it's not FICO, and it, you know, that it's just a gauge of where you are, and it helps you in each category so you can see how you're doing, I think that's fine. Now, I get my FICO score, my official FICO score, and it's kind of a moving target as well, honestly, because, you know, lenders will report your payment history to the credit bureaus at different times. So it's not, it's never an exact science, but with the FICO score, at least you get a better number to compare with what the lender might be looking at. I get mine when I get my annual credit report for free. I spread those out. You get three with the three major credit bureaus. So every 4 months, I get a free one. And about once a year, I will pay the $8 to get my FICO score from that credit bureau. So, I mean, that's a cheap way to do it. You can get on myfico.com, and I think it's about $20, which is certainly an option if you feel like you really need to be checking your credit. Let's say you're about to refinance your mortgage. It's good to know what your credit is so you can kind of, you know, gauge what your the rate is that you might get on your refinance.
Right, and mistakes do happen. And if you have a mistake on your credit score, it used to be very difficult to get it taken care of. You know, I remember following up with clients, you know, writing letter after letter to get something cleaned off their credit score. So if somebody does get their credit report and finds something on there that shouldn't be there, where do they begin?
Okay, you can either, it depends on the mistake, actually, but, you know, let's say there's something wrong with your identifying information. You can contact one of the credit bureaus. Let's say, and they have an obligation to contact the others. You only have to contact one, and you can get on the FTC website, and they will walk you through step by step about what you need to be doing. But let's say you look at your credit report, and you see an account, and you go, gosh, this is not my credit card account. I didn't do this. Okay, that is a sign of fraud. So you really want to take action right away and contact one of the credit bureaus, and they will contact the others, and they'll also put a fraud alert on your account. So depending on what the mistake is, you know, there are different procedures that you need to go through. But in general, you need to contact that credit bureau.
Right. So of all the mistakes that you made that you shared with us in the beginning, what do you think is the number one thing for people to focus on so they don't get into a hole?
You know, that is that's a tough call. I made some really big mistakes. I would say the most important thing, really, which is not paying my bills on time. You know, I mentioned how, you know, that is so tied into your credit score, which impacts so many other areas of your life. And what happened to me was when I started carrying a balance on one card, I no longer felt any shock or worry about this. So it was just a short jump to carry a balance on another card and then another. So that's how I really got into debt. It snowballed, you know, with compound interest and all. So, you know, once you start not paying your bills on time, man, you're really going to get into trouble fast. And you're also going to have to pay late fees on top of that.
Right. So if we have got ourselves into a mess, you know, and this is going to vary so much across the board, but if let's say we have been paying bills late, how do we start working to clean that up other than just paying our bills on time?
Yeah, that's a difficult situation. I mean, that happened to me. I actually could not even make my minimum payments at one point because I had so much debt. I didn't have the cash flow to cover it. What you need to do first is take a deep breath and, you know, kind of just acknowledge what you've done here, accept responsibility, even if it was a result of a, you know, losing your job or something like this, it's your debt and you're the one that has to take care of it. And give yourself a little break. You know, this happens to a lot of people. And sit down with your budget. If you don't have one, now is the time. And figure out where you can cut corners. You don't necessarily have to cut all the fun out of your life, but maybe you can cut back. So just, you know, be ruthless about it. Go through every line item and see where you can find some extra cash to throw with your debt. You know, and if you find that you can't make those minimum payments, you know, maybe you do need some help, okay? If you don't see a way out of this within the next year or so, you might consider contacting the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. That's nfcc.org, and they can perhaps set you up with a credit counselor. Often you'll get a free phone chat, and sometimes that's all you need just to get you in the right direction.
Right, right. So one of the things I wanted to talk about is traveling overseas, because obviously I travel a lot. Used to be I'd take traveler's checks, a credit card, a little bit of cash. I was set. Not so much now. The last few times I've been, I remember going to Norway and other places in Europe, and then, of course, England. They just won't take my debit or credit card because it's a magnetic stripe. And Europe's way ahead of us on that ball game. So tell us what we need to know if we're traveling.
Okay, you know, one thing that you can do, it's certainly a problem if you're at a kiosk, you know, at a train station or something like that, and there's no human around. If there is a human around, they are supposed to have equipment on site so that they can process your card, or they should have been taught to do it manually. So first, ask to speak to the manager and see if there's any way they can actually do that card for you. And if they can't, you know, you might even have to just go the old-fashioned way with cash. But you bring up the problem with the Mag Stripe, and you know, with the Target hackings, and doesn't it seem like there's a new hacking every single week now? They're just it's just gotten terrible.
Yeah.
You know, the credit card issuers have actually been working on putting computer chips in credit cards for years. Okay, and it's been slowed down because it's so expensive, and the retailers, you know, they were trying to work this into their budget. So this has actually been going on for a while, and now everyone's talking about it because of all the hackings that have gone on. Visa and MasterCard have given retailers a deadline until, I think it's fall 2015, to have everything in place. And also, you know, there might be a computer chip version of your card. It would take an hour for me to go through all of this.
Right, right.
But it's possible to call your issuer and just see if you can, if there's a version of your card, if you can upgrade to a version that has the chip if you're going overseas.
Yeah, because basically everywhere in Europe wants the card with the chip in, and then it's a chip and
they
signature or a chip and pin. But you know, it's certainly, I was unaware of it until, of course, nobody would take my credit card or my debit card, and you certainly don't want to get stuck. One way I did work around at Beverly is, as you said, some people have equipment there, but I had to tell them, just punch the numbers in manually, because they're just not used to it in Europe. They've got a much more advanced system.
I'm glad they were able to work that out for you. But, yeah, it's great to have one of those computer chip cards when you're overseas.
So knowing what you do and talking with people around the country, and I'm sure you hear some really bad, bad stories, let's look at positive stuff. And we've got about a minute here. What do you tell people to keep their healthy credit other than what we've already talked about?
Okay, you know, one thing that's really important that doesn't get talked about a lot are having financial goals, because the amount that you're spending on credit, you want to be sure that you don't overdo it and end up missing out on something that you really want to do in the future. So, you know, I say, you know, when you have your budget, also make a list of your financial goals. Let's say that, you know, you're saving for a new home. That needs to be in your budget. You know, think ahead. Just plan ahead. So, you know, maybe with cash flow, you can afford to spend, you know, so much a month on your credit card. But if you're trying to save for something important, something big in the future, cut back on that, you know, and also make sure that you don't carry that balance. And tracking your spending will help you avoid that.
Yeah, all good advice. And there's a ton of good advice in Beverly Hartzog's book, Confessions of a Credit Junkie. I told you I was having a hard time speaking today. Confessions of a Credit Junkie, Everything You Need to Know to Avoid the Mistakes I Made. And please give our listeners your website so they can find out more at your website.
Okay, I'm at Beverly Harzog, that's HARZOG.com. I have a blog there, and I'll also answer questions. There's a contact form on my site. Ask me anything, and I will answer it for you.
Beverly, thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Vicki. I enjoyed it very much.
And I want to thank each of you for joining us today. If you have questions on today's show or comments, missed any of the contact information, you can reach me at 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617. Or you can reach us through info@conversationslive.net. info@conversationslive.net. And I also am available. You can find us on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair, V-I-C-K-I-S-T-L-A-I-R. And you can find us on Facebook, Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'd like to see you there. And feel free to put comments up there. Tell us what's happening in your world. Promote your business a little. Feel free. All right, we will be back next week with an all-live new show. And until then, live well, live strong. Thanks for being with us in this hour. Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.